Good afternoon and welcome to A Look at the Arts. I'm Tom Lounges, and today we are going to revisit the rockin' 60s. I've got a famous 60s book author, Tom Lasante, calling in. We're going to talk about his brand new book, Talking 60s Drive-In Movies. We're going to talk about some of his other eight books about the 60s. And live in studio with us, the one and only Charlie Smith. Back in the 60s, she was known professionally as Arlene Charles. She starred in a variety of films and TV shows. We're going to talk about some of those experiences and how they correlate to the book. That's coming up. Good afternoon and welcome to A Look at the Arts. I'm Tom Lounges, and today we are going to rock and roll a little bit. We're going to take you back to the rockin' 60s with a great author, Tom Lasante. We're going to give you a chance to call in and win autographed copies of his new book, Talkin' 60s Drive-In Movies, and we've got a very special guest, a young lady that has been in several of those movies that you probably watched from the back seat while you were in between smooches. And we're going to get to all that after we take you to the 60s now. Raise your hand if you remember that one. Wipeout, the Safaris, kind of setting the tone for what we're here today about on A Look at the Arts. We're going to take you back to those glory days of Beach Blanket Bingo and all those Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello movies, the Elvis movies like Clam Bake, and there's just so many great drive-in movies of the 1960s. And I was very blessed to have two older sisters that graduated class of 64 and 65. They used to sneak me in the back seat with their girlfriends, and we'd all go to the Ridge Drive-In or the Y&W Drive-In here in Northwest Indiana, and I remember seeing all the old Elvis movies like Tickle Me and the big silver screens, and drive-ins are one of those wonderful places that so many of the young millennials will probably never know. Fortunately, we still have the 49er in Valparaiso, and there's a few scattered around the country, but it's a lost medium for great films, and we've got a gentleman joining us in just a second that has written a great new book, all about the drive-in movies called Talkin' 60s Drive-In Movies. App title kind of sums it all up. And we've got a young lady live in studio. She's been a guest on this program before. We're happy to welcome her back. In the 60s, she was known as Arlene Charles. Fans and friends know her as Charlie Smith. Charlie, welcome.
Thank you. It's such an honor today to be talking to both Toms.
Tom squared. There you go.
Right.
The 60s were such an important decade, culturally speaking, subculture-wise. And Tom has written, I think, 9 books. Let's bring Tom on. Tom, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
You've got, what, 9 books total now about the 60s?
Yes. Yep. That Talking 60s, Driving Movies is number 9.
Wow. What got you so involved in the 1960s? Why is that the decade of choice that you have wanted to write about and have written about so well?
I was a kid during the late 60s, and my mother and father took us to the drive-in all the time. But this was really after the Beach movies and the Elvis movies. This is more the late 60s and into the 70s. So through my mom and dad, I got this love for movies. And during the 70s, when I was a kid and I was kind of nerdy and shy, and while my brother and friends wanted to play baseball outside, I would run home and watch the 4:30 movie. I grew up on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And each week there was Elvis Presley week and Beach Party week and Anne Margaret week and Planet of the Apes week. And I loved all those movies. Gidget week. And I became a fan of those movies and all the stars in it, from Cara Lindley, Pamela Tiffin, Aaron Kincaid, and I also used to write a little bit, and it through my friend Lewis Paul, who had a fanzine, I wrote something for him in the 90s, and then I just started interviewing all these people that weren't being interviewed by anybody.
Mm-hmm. And the newest one, Talking 60s Drive-In Movies, it covers quite a bit. I'm looking at one right now, the poster on page 66. I sailed to Tahiti with an all-girl crew. What a classic film. I mean, all these bikini babes on a boat with Garner McKay. It's just like a travelogue, basically. It's beautiful cinematography and beautiful women. And, of course, one of them is sitting here in the studio with me right now, Arlene Charles.
Yes, that was a movie that I did. We filmed in Hawaii for 7 weeks. And you talk about being seasick, going out on that boat every day. We never got to Tahiti, but it was an amazing adventure. And Gardner was just as sweet as could be. The director was Richard Baer, who at that time had been the director for Green Acres. And that was a very, very popular television show of the time.
Hmm. Now, Tom, what is your favorite movie of the 60s, if you had to pick one?
Oh, God.
So let's say your top 3. I'll make it easier on you.
Well, from the movies I've written about, I guess my top 3 would be Paradise Hawaiian Style, the Elvis Presley movie, with Irene Sue, who I talked to. She's in the book. Beach Blanket Bingo, to me, is probably, for me, it's my favorite of the Frankie Avalon and Ed Funicello beach movies.
Mm-hmm.
And third one, God. Actually, I have so many that I like.
Hard to pin down.
Yes, exactly. I do like the one Arlene is in, Charlie's in, A Winter A Go-Go. That's like a beach party in the snow.
Right.
I always like that one as well.
What was the movie? I always remember the character, but the beach movie's kind of blurred for me. That had Ratso, the biker guy. Do you remember that? And he would put his finger to his temple and he would freeze.
Yes, I do remember that. I wasn't in that one, so I'm sorry to say I don't remember which movie
that
it
has
was.
Been driving me crazy since we started talking about doing this show.
That was Harvey Rembeck. He played that character in Beach Party, Bikini Beach, Beach Bike and Bingo, had his stuff a while, Bikini. He was the leader of the Rats and Mice motorcycle gang.
That's right.
Right.
Okay, thank you. That has been driving me crazy. I just remember, hey, Ratso, you know. And he was the nicest, funniest biker guy you'll ever find.
Yes.
But everybody was intimidated by him. It was funny. The movies of the 60s, I mean, there were a lot of serious movies, obviously, but there was a lot of pop culture movies, like the ones we're talking about. The Elvis movies were certainly not going to win any Oscars, nor were any of the beach movies. But what made them so appealing, do you think? And this is open to both of you. You were both part of this. You've studied them, Tom, and Arlene, you were there.
I think it was the time. It was the last time, it was the innocence of the 50s into the 60s. You know, by the time 66 came around, there was the Vietnam War, there was civil rights, there was student protesting, you know, drugs. And I think it reflects just a period of time, like, I guess, the post-Eisenhower years, where everything, you know, was innocent and carefree and fun.
Okay. I agree. I agree. People were looking to go and have fun, to be, to forget the war for a moment, or to forget all the problems that we were having here. And when they went to one of the movies that Elvis did, they would sit, and for the 2 hours, they wouldn't hear any cussing. There were no, you know, major fights or explosions or things like that. That hadn't come onto the scene yet. And so people went just to relax and have fun.
You brought up a movie, and that is Winter a Go-Go. And I don't know whether to call you Arlene or Charlie.
Charlie.
I'm used to calling you Charlie, but the listeners know you from the films as Arlene. It's so confusing. But Charlie, you were in Winter a Go-Go. I believe that was your first feature film. Is that correct?
That was correct. That was over at Columbia Studios.
How did you tie in with that?
At that time, I lived at a place called the Hollywood Studio Club, and that was just about 2 blocks from the studio. And in order to live there, you had to be involved in one way or another with the studio or television industry. And so big major stars had lived there, and one of the regulations was that you had to be out after breakfast looking for a job. You could not be just sitting in your room or whatever.
So lounging by the pool.
No. Oh, there was no pool. Are you kidding?
Oh, okay.
So every day I'd go over to Columbia and say, well, what's happening? You know, can you put me in something or whatever? And they were casting this. And so the director said, sure, come on over. And I auditioned, and I was lucky enough to get one of the parts.
Wow. I was just reading in Tom's book here. And again, I've known you for a number of years, and there's still so many things I don't know about you. And I just discovered one right here, re-going over Tom's book, that you played Marie Antoinette in Ghost in the Invisible Bikini. I didn't know that. I just
yes.
saw that not too long ago.
See, there's a lot of things you don't know. One of the things, the bikini party in a haunted house, they had my head chopped off. And do you know, I went home and had nightmares for months and months over that.
Wow. Now, the bikini thing was a big 60s thing. Now, and obviously, as a bikini girl, I guess you were known in Elvis movies, everything. You were always popping up in a bikini. Looking back on that, what's your thoughts?
Do you know, it was fun. It was pure innocence. There wasn't the drug culture or anything like that from the people that I knew and hung around with. And so for me, it was a job. It was great. I had a horse to support, so I was working. You know, if I got to dance my booty on a Elvis movie, I would take it just to pay the board for the horse and I. So mm-hmm. those were fun days. I really look back and have some fond memories.
And you've had a lot of different films. I mean, if we just run through a few of the titles you've been in, as we said, Sail to Tahiti and All Girl Crew. You did some appearances in Paradise Hawaiian Style, Spin Out, Speedway, the Dr. Goldfoot, you know, and then with the gold bikinis. What was it called?
Dr. Goldfoot in the Bikini Machine.
The Bikini Machine. But you're all like dressed in gold bikinis.
Right.
Lots of fun stuff. Tom, let's talk about the new book about the movies, Talking 60s Drive-In Movies. How long of a process is it for you to track down these women and these film stars of the old days? I mean, a lot of them are no longer in the business, and a lot of them had different names, like Charlie's going as Charlie Smith these days. And you know, how hard is it for you to do the research to get this stuff? And are they mostly willing to go back and reflect on it?
Actually, this book was kind of, I thought I had exhausted the 60s with the prior book. My friends are always making fun of me, you know, like, you know, it has to be your last one. There can't be any more people out there. But, you know, on this one, actually, Charlie contacted me because I couldn't find her. And I profiled her in my Drive-In Dreamgirls book. And I think she saw that. And then Jan Watson, who was one of the Slay girls in the Matt Hell movies, The Silencers and Murderers Row, and actually worked with Charlie on a Western called Alvarez Kelly.
Yes.
She contacted me. She saw her profile and said, oh, if you're ever doing another book, I'd love to be interviewed. So from those two, I started reaching out. I found Mimsy Farmer, Nancy Czar. On Facebook is actually a good place to find a lot of people. Christopher Reardon. And then I have a good friend named Sean, who does a wonderful blog. He's a great writer, and he's into the same thing. So we help each other out trying to find, you know, actors and actresses for each other. He mostly helps me. So, yeah, that's what happened. And then I started accumulating more interviews and this book. And it took about a year and a half.
Okay. Now, Charlie, you were profiled, as Tom had said in a previous book, you didn't even know about. Were you surprised that anyone even cared anymore that this author in New York was trying to track you down?
Do you know something? This is a very funny story. I moved back when I guess when Tom wrote the book originally, I was living in Spain. I was married to Mike Smith, and we were living in Spain. And so I moved back after Mike passed away, and I was at a barbecue one afternoon. And someone came up to me and said, oh, do you know you're in this book? And I said, what book? And they showed me pictures of it. And I said, no, where did you get all this information? On the internet. Well, you know, I don't Google myself. I'm sorry. You know, and so.
You don't even have a Facebook page.
I know I don't. I'm so behind times. And so I looked and I said, well, I'll be darned. And so I went on Amazon, ordered the book. And I thought, well, wasn't that nice of this man to put me in this beautiful book? And so I thought, the way I was raised, I have to send him a thank you note. So luckily, he is on the internet. So I sent him a note and thanked him. And he contacted me and said, I've been looking for you. Where are you? And I said, well, I'm back in Indiana. So that's how I got involved in his new book here.
All right,
yeah,
so
actually, I wrote to you via the Dave Clark Vive website at one point when I was doing Driving Dream Girls, but I guess it probably
I never got it.
To you.
No, I never got it. I'm sorry. I would have responded.
Yes, I know you would have.
Well, that was back in 2003, Driving Dream Girls, a galaxy of B-movie starlets of the 60s. I love your titles. And then the other one that Charlie's in is Glamour Girls of 60s Hollywood. Great titles. They kind of capture the groove of the era, I think.
Yeah,
they do. Actually, I have to thank my bowling team from the time. Scott Hannibal, Matt Fletcher, and another friend, Jim. I came to bowling one, and I gave them all these titles, and the four of us came up with that one.
Wow. Well, we're gonna open up the phone lines right now. We're going to give a listener a chance to call in to win a copy of Talking 60s Drive-In Movies that Tom has signed and that Charlie's going to sign, and we'll make sure you get it. We've got just two copies. We're going to give the first one away right now at 219-769-9577. That's 219-769-9577, as we revisit a classic Elvis movie song on a film that Charlie was in. This is Clambake.
Hey! All right.
Mama's little baby loves clambake. Mama's little baby loves clambake too. Mama's little baby loves clambake. Mama's little baby loves clambake too.
Hey, listen, world, you gotta know.
Clambake.
I'm cutting loose and letting go.
Clambake.
Who needs the worry and the strife? Life can be a ball, I'll just ball away my life.
Clambake, gonna have a clambake. Clambake, gonna have a clambake.
Look for the brightest lights in town. That's where you'll find me hanging round. I got this feeling to be free. I pick and choose the life I want, and that's a life for me.
Clambake, gonna have a clambake. Clambake, gonna have a clambake. Hey!
Mama's little baby loves clambake, clambake, mama's little baby loves clambake. Mama's little baby loves clambake, clambake, mama's little baby loves clambake.
Hey! Look for the brightest lights in town. That's where you'll find me hanging around. I got this feeling to be free. I'll pick and choose the life I want, and that's the life for me.
Clambake, gonna have a clambake.
Hey,
clambake, gonna have a clambake.
Mama's little baby loves clambake, clambake. Mama's little baby loves 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 clambake.
Mom's little bit of love's clam bake, clam bake. Mom's little bit of love's clam bake, too.
Almost threw me there. Elvis threw that extra line in. Clam bake. One of those forgotten films that, I mean, Elvis movies were good at some points and really bad in other points. Charlie, you were in a couple of films with Elvis. What's the best memory you have of working with Elvis? What was he like on set?
Oh, golly. He was so dynamic. And the first time I saw him, I just stood there with my mouth open, just staring. He was so beautiful. I couldn't believe it. And then one day I introduced him to my mom. And my mother said, so you're the one that's been all over my daughter's walls with the pictures. And I've been hearing your records all day and all night. And he just laughed and giggled. He was so down to earth. And he just would hug you. And you just felt good being around Elvis. He was a great man.
Now, you went from the Elvis films into several others, as we mentioned, the Las Vegas Hillbillies, for instance, with Jane Mansfield and Mamie Van Doren. I mean, those are some big sex pots of the era, and you were working alongside of them. What was that kind of scene like?
Well, in the original script, I was supposed to be Ferlin Husky's
Who was a country
girlfriend.
Star at the
He's
time.
He's a country star, correct. And I was supposed to be his girlfriend. And he leaves me to go to Las Vegas, of course, to meet Jane Mansfield and Mamie Van Doren. But when he met me, he said, no, I don't want her to be my girlfriend. I want her to be my little sister. So they had to rewrite suddenly, and then I got to be his little sister. And we had great fun. In fact, I just found some recent pictures on that. I'll have to show you.
Wow.
Ferlin was a super guy. And you know what? I got to actually talk to Ferlin just, about 2 years ago. I found out he was in a hospital down in Memphis. So I called
him. So he's still living?
He has passed away since, right. But I was very fortunate, and I said, do you still remember me? He said, my little sister, hey there. A nice man, very nice man also.
Tom, going back to your many, many books on these wonderful girls and guys of the 60s, who was the holy grail for you? Who was the hardest to track down and get, and you finally got him and says, yes, this is the one?
Oh, wow. The Holy Grail came first. Like I said, I used to go to the drive-in with my parents, and we saw the Poseidon Adventure, and that I was mesmerized. That movie changed my life, and I became obsessed with Kara Lindley. She was the pop singer in that, who lip-synced The Morning After.
Right.
And actually, it's through Kara Lindley that I would go to the library and research her credits, and that's how with being a fan of the movies, of the Elvis movies and stuff, I started researching other actresses' credits. So Kara Lindley was my very, very first celebrity interview. I wrote a article on her for my friend Lewis Paul's fanzine, and he and his then wife said, this is great, you should send it to her. I did, and asked for an interview, and one day I came home in like 1996, 97, and there she was on my answering machine.
Wow.
I'm saying, hi, Carol. I said, I got your book on me. I'd love to give you an interview. So I think that, for me, was the holy... I mean, I everybody's been super nice, except for one or two here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But that I've interviewed. But I think... I hit the Holy Grail for me at the beginning.
Wow. That's got to be kind of cool. You grow up like looking at this girl on a poster or whatever in the films and saying, gosh, I really think she's hot. And then all of a sudden, there she is on your phone machine saying, yeah, I'll talk to you. Let's get coffee.
He's easy to talk to. He's very, very easy to talk to.
Oh, thank you. And so you're a great interview, Charlie.
Thank you.
And one of the things you mentioned that got you hooked in the 60s was watching all those marathons, the beach movie marathons, the Elvis marathons. And it's interesting because in 2012, you got to host some of those marathons on Turner Classic Movies. Tell us how that happened in your life.
Well, it's a little story about always be nice to the little people because you never know. Because when I wrote my book, Hollywood Surf and Beach Films, the first wave, it was like 2006 to 2007. And this guy from Turner Classic Movies contacted me. He was their webmaster. And he said, oh, we would love to feature this on the website. Could you send us the comp copy? And I did. Fast forward to 2012, and now he's the VP of programming. And they decided to do a week of, spring break week of beach movies. And he remembered me and my book, and he sent me an email and said, "Hi, Tom, I don't know if you remember me, but would you like to co-host with Ben Mankiewicz for a week?" And I was like, "You bet I would." And off to Atlanta I went.
What fun.
Wow. Wow. By the way, congratulations. Dan, what was the name of our winner?
Jim from Crown Point.
Jim from Crown Point got himself a copy of Talkin' 60s Drive-In Movies that Tom has signed and Charlie's going to sign as well. We're going to give away another copy, so keep the number handy. Don't call just yet. 219-769-9577. 769-9577. We'll open up the phone lines in about 10 minutes and give you a chance to call in to win. But in the meantime, Charlie, let's talk about the Dr. Goldfoot and the Bikini Machine movie, 1965. You were working at that time with all the big heartthrobs. You, Elvis, as we mentioned, Gardner McKay. You were with Frankie Avalon in this film. But you starred with one of the great horror masters of all time, Vincent Price.
Oh,
now,
gosh.
I've got to hear what he was like. I mean, he's just one of those iconic characters.
He's so charming, you cannot believe it. And you know what? He just... When he'd walk onto the stage, everybody just stood there in awe. Wow, that's Vincent Price.
Well, 65, he was at his peak. I mean, he was in everything at that time.
And he was very nice to all of us. And here we were, little starlets, you know, just ogling this big icon. But he took the time to come over and talk to each of us. Are you doing okay? Do you need any help or that? So I thought he was always really a beautiful gentleman. And years later, I bought his cookbook because I was so impressed by Vincent Price, and the cookbook was amazing. It's really a good cookbook.
Okay, you're going to have to make us dinner one night. You know.
Oh, my
that.
Gosh.
Tom's going to fly in from New York. We're all going to have a party at your house.
I love to cook, so please come on down.
Dan, you're going to come too.
Come on.
I'm there. I love a good meal.
What happened? The 60s, you know, all the innocence, and then, of course, Vietnam became a focal point. You went to Vietnam with the USO. And worked with Johnny Grant. We're going to talk about that in just a second. But you left Hollywood. You came back to Indiana. Obviously, there's a lot in between. You married Mike Smith of the Dave Clark Five and kind of got into real life again.
Yes.
Did you miss the Hollywood stuff at all?
Do you know, there comes a time in everybody's life where you have to say, I can't wear a bikini anymore. So I had no choice.
I just had that revelation the other day. I really did.
And so, you know, you hang the bikini up and that's it. So when I met Mike in 64 on a blind date, and we reconnected in 1999. So for me, it was a dream come true. I had always, always held him very close to my heart. And so when we reconnected, I moved to Spain, and we got married in Gibraltar, and I was with him until he passed away in 2008. So we had a bit of Hollywood in as much as he was doing TV shows, and he was resurrecting his career. So he was just making the comeback when he had his accident. So for me, we got to meet some of the great musicians of the time, and that was an honor. And
oh, you've got so many pictures.
I
mean, there's you and Bruce Springsteen and Mike, and you and Peter Noon, and, you know, you've just got walls and walls and books of incredible people you've rubbed elbows with and hung out with. Paul McCartney, Paul Schaefer, I mean, you name it, Tom Jones. All these guys were all, like, in your circle of friends, and here you are sitting in Northwest Indiana in this little studio with Dan and I.
I'm just a farm girl that's come home. That's all I can say.
Do you miss it at all, though? I mean, you're kind of touching the edges a little bit working with Tom Lasante and some of his books and getting a little of that fame and fortune, and maybe not fortune, but fame, a little bit of that back. Does it ignite any itches you want to scratch? Do you want to get back into this at all?
I do in a way, but I also really relish my privacy.
Hence no Facebook.
Right. Yeah. Hence no Facebook, exactly. And so last year I have a motorhome and I drove it across country, went all out west, and I drove over 2,500 miles. I had the time of my life. I took my two dogs with me. So that's kind of the thing that I enjoy the most. I love working with you both, and I think it's fabulous. And so I dabble here and there.
So it's kind of fun
things.
To remember.
Yes, but I still enjoy going fishing, going horseback riding, taking care of my cows, little silly things like that.
Wow. From bikinis to bovines. There's your next book, Tom.
Yeah. That's a good title.
What's next for you, Tom? I mean, this new book has just come out, the Talking 60s Drive-In Movies, and again, we're going to give you a chance to win that in just a moment, but you've done another wonderful book, number 9, about this wonderful decade of the 60s, full of great stories, full of great pictures. What's next? What do you want to do?
Well, believe it or not, I found more people to interview. I've interviewed for a new book. I don't know. It's probably going to focus more on the mod late 60s. I interviewed Charlie's co-star, Gene Rayner from He Sailed to Tahiti, Kate Cole from Hello Down There, Gil Peterson from The Cool Ones, and right when I get off the phone, I'll be talking to another co-star of Charlie's, Dodie Marshall, who starred with Elvis in Spin Out and Easy Come, Easy Go.
So I remember
her. There's going to be another 60s book coming out sometime in 2018.
Wow. Have you ever thought of doing a book, or maybe I missed it and you've already done it, on the bike culture? I mean, we were talking about Ratso, but like the Wild Ones and the Hell's Angels stuff.
There's a couple of books out there already, and I don't think I could do it justice. I mean, I did interview in this book Valerie Starrett, who wrote and starred in Run Angel Run with William Smith. And Mimsy Farm is in this book, and she was in a biker film, The Devil's Angels, with Sally Soxy and John Cassavetes. So Diane McBain I interviewed. She was the leader of the miniskirt mob. So the biker genre does fall into all my books, but I've never done, I think it's been done too many times, books on the biker films.
Okay. Well, who's left that you haven't interviewed? You've interviewed well over 100 actresses and actors of the 60s. Is there anyone that is still on your wish list at this point that you think you're going to be able to get?
I've written to a number. I was a big fan of Anjanette Kummer. I would love to interview her. People keep saying I should do a book on the guys, but unfortunately, the guys work too much because they go into the set, because the actors weren't as discriminated against as the actresses. Because during that period when, these gals, if they didn't become the next Elizabeth Taylor, by the time they hit 30, there were other 20-year-old girls behind them. And, Hollywood's very sexist and, they didn't get as many roles. Well, the young actors from that period, were able to develop into character actors.
Right.
Like John Saxon and Aaron Kincaid and, Tab Hunter. They just kept working and working. So I don't say I'm lazy, but I like focusing more on the actresses than the actors.
Okay. Charlie addressed that issue of sexism in Hollywood back then. You had mentioned hanging up the bikini. You played some non-bikini roles. I mean, you were in the Western here, Alvarez Kelly with William Holden and Richard Widmark. It wasn't a bikini movie.
No.
But I mean, it was still kind of a sexy role.
Right. I played a hooker.
Well, I was being kind.
Very sexy
okay.
role.
With the cleavage hanging out, which was they used to promote the movie in all the newspapers.
Right.
But what was it like? I mean, you got to a certain age, and like we said, you eventually left the business, but was it because of that, or was it, I mean, what was the reasoning behind the sexism issue in the 60s? Was it really that bad?
You know, Tom, it's interesting because everybody knows about the casting couches.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has heard all the
How do you think I got my
tales.
Job?
Were you casting or were you one of those that were casted? Anyway, it was really difficult. My dear mother, who's passed away, used to think that, I was going to be the next Shirley Temple. And from the age of 3, she had me auditioning for modeling parts and that.
So she was a stage mom.
Oh, she was a perfect stage mom. So I grew up here in Indiana, and I became Junior Miss Indiana and then Miss Indiana. So my mom thought, instant stardom because I have those two titles. No, that's not the way it works. Girls that I was up against for parts had studied at Northwestern, had studied at acting schools with Lee Strasberg. I mean, I was up against people like Anne Margaret. I was up against top Farrah Fawcett, people like that. So for me, it was very difficult. Now, I was very fortunate because I had a country girl look. I had, horses in that. So I was able to do a lot of commercials at the time. And I would go up against Marianne Gordon, who later married Kenny Rogers, and people like that. And I always had fun. I could do a commercial for the egg console. I did prunes. I did Mrs. Cubbinson's dressing and turkey stuffing. So I was busy promoting other products other than just the beach pictures. So I was very fortunate.
Now, you have a picture at your home of you all cowgirled up. And yes. You said that was from a TV commercial, correct?
Well, I was asked to audition for a cigarette commercial. And you had to draw a gun and spin it, put it back in the holster. And so I hired a stuntman to work with me to spin the gun. And boy, did I get that down fast. So in order to get this role, because I was really up against a lot of actresses at the time, I had pictures taken with my horse, with the cowgirl outfits, the whole thing and the guns. So I was one of the last two girls up for this big, big cigarette commercial. I went into the studio, spun that gun. Man, those guys, they couldn't believe how good I was. Then they said, okay, here, will you smoke a cigarette? Oh, I'm coughing my head off. And he goes, you don't smoke, do you? And I said, no.
Next,
I blew it.
Wow, all that preparation.
Yeah. It was funny.
Tom, you have a website, 60cinema.com. If listeners go there, what are they going to find?
They'll find a lot of promotion for my books. Plus, you know, I interviewed for the book an actress named Maggie Threat. And she did a lot of TV. But for the book, I kind of focused it on the movies. So right up there now, when I interviewed her, she talked about her appearances on Star Trek, The Wild Wild West. So there was an interview with her regarding all her TV roles. And then, you know, things I don't use for my books, I usually put up there. You know, I tweet, you know, I watch movies on, you know, on Turner Classics and stuff. So I put mini little reviews. 60s related, 70s too. So things like that will be up there.
Okay, so you're blogging as well then, with
yes.
Excerpts that don't make it to the book.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the Maggie Threat book. I just got online here and I'm looking at it. Star Trek with Maggie Threat. I didn't realize she was in Star Trek. Gene Roddenberry actually was a friend of mine, and we had done a couple of things together as a source for my journalism, sci-fi stuff. And I was unfamiliar with her. I'm looking at her now going, like, I remember her.
Yeah, from Mud's Women.
From Mud's Women.
I think she said it was the second or third episode they actually filmed.
Okay. And I'm reading here, and again, I'm learning so much just talking and reading Tom's stuff here. One of the films that I remember seeing as a young teenager at the drive-in, which I probably shouldn't have seen because it was a little risque, and you do address it, and that's Three in the Attic, 1968.
Yes.
Without getting into a lot of detail, these three girls kidnap this guy, hold him in the attic, yada, yada, yada. He was a player.
It was a 9-to-5 movie with Dolly Parton.
Yeah. It was a little rough, I guess, for that era. And she was in it. And I have looked repeatedly because I remember seeing that film, as I said, I was very young, probably didn't understand a lot of it. Wanted to go back and rewatch it, but I cannot find that film anywhere. Has it never been reissued on DVD or has it?
I'm not sure if it's on DVD. I know Turner Classic Movies ran it last month of the year, a couple of months ago, and I have it saved in my DVR. And actually, in the book, I interviewed the screenwriter, Stephen Yaffa.
Okay.
Because it started from an original screenplay when he was in college, and he won a writer's award to go to Hollywood, and that's when he went there with his original screenplay. But in 1964, it was definitely too risque,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't get produced at that time. It was a couple of years later that it got produced. But yeah, I don't think it's on DVD.
Because that's when I've wanted to go back and revisit to say, was it really as good as I remember, or am I just like, you know, remembering because it was so titillating, shall we say.
To your young eyes.
To my young eyes. And Yvette Mimieux was in it, and I just had such a lust for her as a teenager.
Lady.
She was so
gorgeous.
She was my pinup girl. She was my Carol Lynley.
I like Yvette too. The Carol Lynley, Yvette Mimieux, Sue Lyon, Tuesday Weld, they all sort of blend into each other during the 60s.
Someone else that I actually had a chance to meet as a probably 12-year-old. I went to a live theater with my parents, and it was Elke Sommer, a beautiful singer, a beautiful movie star. Did you ever get a chance to work with Elke? And if so, what was she like?
She's not a favorite of mine, so I've never really tried to find her.
She's not?
No, I really don't care about Elke Sommer.
Okay, we'll have to talk about that sometime over dinner at Charlie's house.
There you go.
Charlie, did you ever work with Elke?
No, I didn't.
No?
No.
Okay.
Can I throw in something that's really, really funny?
Sure.
You know, you're talking about the risque movies and stuff like that.
Right.
do you know our bikinis had to be checked? We couldn't go too low, like the bikinis today and stuff like that. And
no butt cracks.
Oh,
that.
Gosh, no. Are you kidding me? And we had to have body makeup. And
what does that mean?
That meant that we'd get the bikinis on and then we'd go straight to body makeup. And she'd smother us with all this body makeup, pancake makeup, just all over our bodies so that we would constantly look tan.
Oh, wow.
But isn't that weird? But do you want to hear a real funny?
Sure.
I can't even swim.
And you did the Tahiti movie, which was done on a boat, most of the footage.
Right. I was supposed to do a scene where we were all jumping in the water, and I couldn't do it because I couldn't swim. And Dick Bear wanted to kill me.
Wow. And you wouldn't wear the body makeup in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, the body makeup. That story. Well, that's a very funny story because there was only one girl in the film that wore the body makeup because it was rancid and it stunk. So all of us protested and we wouldn't wear it, but one girl did. And we would stand about 5 feet from her because she smelled so bad from that stuff.
Aw, poor girl.
It's horrible, I know.
No, back in the 60s, I remember hearing stories with, like, I Dream of Jeannie with Barbara Eden, where you couldn't show a navel.
Right.
Now,
right.
Is that how it was back then?
Yeah. It was very, very protected. You couldn't have low cleavage or anything like that. And
unless you were an Alvarez Kelly playing a hooker.
That's a different story. But, yeah.
That's the movies.
Yeah, that's the movies. But no, you didn't dare do anything like that.
That's you on the back there, isn't it?
I can't see.
Are you wearing a dark wig? Are you wearing a dark wig?
No.
Oh, that's not you?
No, that's not
me. Okay. I just see cleavage on the back of the DVD.
Oh, no. That is not me. No.
What was your favorite movie, Charlie? Of all the ones you were in, you did so many different styles, so many different actors you worked with, producers. What was one that stands out? If you could only have done one movie, which would it have been?
Clambake.
Clambake because of Elvis.
Because of Elvis. He was my heartthrob. He was my idol. And I'll never forget him. He was fantastic.
Okay.
Great man.
What was the one you wish you hadn't done? Is there any?
Not really, because during that time, you know, when you'd go out for auditions, we called them cattle calls, and there would be 100 girls in the room that you were auditioning against. And so you really, really got lucky if you got a part. Mm-hmm. So I was always very grateful to work. And I didn't have large speaking parts during that time. But if I could dance in the Elvis movies, that was a $350 check every week. So that was fine by me. My agent didn't like it. But at the same time, it paid the bills.
Now, you also did a couple of scenes with Bill Bixby, who later became the Hulk.
Yes.
I always liked Bill Bixby. First from the Elvis movies, then Courtship of Eddie's Father. He just seemed like a really affable, nice guy. Was he a nice guy?
Oh, he was hysterically funny. And during the one scene where Bill and I are on a boat, and Elvis and Shelley Fabre are chasing us, they were throwing water at us to make it look like it's simulating that we're on the water, actually. But it's actually shot as a process shot in the studios. And so here comes Elvis. And Elvis, with a little bit of water, throws the glass at you. Then another glass. Well, by the time we were finished, we had buckets of water being thrown at us. My wardrobe was hanging, literally. That started a water fight. And up and down the trailers, all over the set, they're chasing we blew a huge keg light. I was so upset. Elvis threw this big bucket of water on me, and I said, I'm going to get you. He runs in his trailer. I said, Elvis, you get out of that bathroom and face me. I can't believe you. And Elvis is dying. All of a sudden, Joe Esposito says, oh my God, here comes the Colonel. That's the only way they could stop the craziness. So,
I heard he would disrupt sets a lot and cost a lot of money.
Oh, boy, did he. Because Elvis was a prankster. Mm-hmm. He was a jokester the whole time. And so that's why that was one of my favorites.
Wow. Dan, let's open up the phone line real quick. And sure. let's play a Dave Clark 5 song. We've talked a little bit about Mike Smith. What would you like to play? What's
about
your favorite?
Because.
Because. All right, let's
Mike
see.
Mike actually wrote that song.
He did.
Yes, he did.
I know it's on here. Track number 5, Dan. Track number 5 on disc 1 of the history of Dave Clark 5. And while we get that set, 219-769-9577, 219-769-9577, you'll get our final copy of Talkin' 60s Drive-In Movies, signed by author Tom LaSante and Charlie Smith. And let's play Because. Take those calls.
That I should care about you. just to be with you.
We have another winner. Dan, who was our winner?
We have Don from Hammond.
That is our final copy of Talkin' 60s Drive-In Movies. And we have Tom LaSante, the author of that book, and eight other great books about the 60s that I'm starting to purchase and get online. And Tom, you have an appearance coming up in fall, September 14th through 16th, the Mid-Atlantic Nostalgia Convention. And we are actually trying to see about getting Charlie out there to be a part of that. Now, your publisher has you out there. What's all those events like? Are you doing a lot of book signings?
With Bear Manor Media. It would be my first one. I've done these book these celebrity shows in the past. It's great because, you know, the celebrities bring in the fans, and you know they're really there to, you know, get autographed pictures. But they stop by and they buy the book. You know, it's a good way to meet people, and, you know, I have one funny story where I was with one of the actresses from Drive-In Dreamgirls. Quinn O'Hara was with me, and the guy bought Drive-In Dreamgirls, and she signed it. And she said, "Oh, here's the author. Do you want him to sign it?" And he's like, "No, that's okay." And he walked away.
Wow.
She was furious. I was cracking up. I could care less. He bought a book, but she was so mad.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, hopefully that won't happen. If we can get Charlie out there, we'll sit at your table and sign some books together, like the ones we're giving away here today.
This is a great book for all the listeners. They really need to get this, because this is a fantastic book.
And honestly, and I'm not blowing smoke, your books are so easy read.
They are.
I mean, the chapters are short. You profile different stars, different films. Some of them, like in the new book, Talking 60s Drive-In Movies, you do a lot of Q&A on some of those. And, of course, you've got profiles in some of the other books. We've got Glamour Girls of the 60s Hollywood here. And they're very easy read. I mean, you don't have to sit there for an hour, you know, and afraid you're going to lose your place. They're little chapters, little vignettes, I guess.
And the pictures
snapshots.
Are great.
And the pictures are great. Some of these I've never seen.
Yeah, Bear Manor did a great job with this book. The pictures came out really nice.
Now, this one that I've got is paperback. Is it as hardback as well? Because I have a hardback copy of Glamour Girls.
Yes, Bear Manor released it first in hardcover and then in softcover. Yes, so it's out in both.
Okay. I'm looking at the cover of Talkin' 60s Drive-In Movies. Who is the girl in the leopard print bikini?
That's Nancy Czar in a shot from Girl Happy. I interviewed her. She was in two Elvis movies, Spin Out also. And she was Elvis's sort of girlfriend in the beginning of the 60s, but stayed a good friend of his throughout the decade. So she has a lot of wonderful... She's in the first chapter, the Elvis chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
She has a lot of wonderful stories, along with Charlie, Christopher Reardon, the late Gail Gerber, and Shelley Fabre. I interviewed all four of the first chapter.
She's my other dream girl. I was in love with Shelley Fabre going back to Donna Reed.
Yeah, Shelley was very popular, and I interviewed her and a couple of years ago, actually, and she was wonderful. And she was in, for me, another great surf movie, Ride the Wild Surf, with Fabian and Tab Hunter and Susan Hart.
Right, right.
And she was a blonde in that. Wow. A platinum blonde.
Wow, that's unusual because she's had dark hair.
Yeah, she was known for that. Mm-hmm. Another one that's, of course, an icon of the era is Anne Margaret. I understand she doesn't do a lot of interviews, though. Have you ever had a chance to talk with her?
No, I haven't, but I talked with her co-stars, Pamela Tiffin and Carol Lindley from The Pleasure Seekers. Mm-hmm. Pamela Tiffin didn't have much to say about Anne Margaret.
Oh, wow.
So, but supposedly she's supposed to be very nice.
I had a chance at one of these nostalgia conventions many years ago to work with Yvonne Craig, Batgirl, when she wrote her book From Ballet to the Batcave. And
yes.
I did some promotion with her on that. A very wonderful lady. Who would you say, and I hate to have you pinpoint, but who would you say are probably the nicest two or three that you've interviewed as far as giving you what you need for your books, being pleasant, not shy about talking about things?
Well, from this one, Charlie, Nancy Czar, Irene Sue, Francine York, who just passed away, was very great. Celeste Yarnell, who's the cover girl on Fantasy Femmes. Was still in touch and really super nice. And actually with Celeste, she didn't know anything about the celebrity autograph conventions. And I sort of hooked her up to Lana Wood, and she's been doing it ever since and always thanks me for giving her a second career. because she was with Elvis Presley in Live a Little, Love a Little, and she was in Star Trek. So if you work with Elvis Presley or if you're in Star Trek, you could really do well on these celebrity autograph conventions.
Right. And Charlie, you've been in Wild Wild West. You were in The Monkees. You played a genie in The Monkees. You played an alien in Wild Wild West with green paint. I mean, just so many wonderful things. And maybe we got to get you at some of these conventions out there. And I'm sad to say we're down to about a minute here. Tom, is there anything else that you want to let our listeners know? Obviously, we want to get you on at the 60 Cinema site.
Yeah, 60cinema.com. This is the website. You know, my books are available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, BearManorMedia.com, directly from the publisher. I'll have another 60s book out, hopefully. And actually, I'm doing another book totally different on the soap opera Ryan's Hope. I've been interviewing lots of the actors and crew from that cult soap.
Wow.
If it's cult, I write about it. If it's popular, you're not going to find me writing about it. By no interest in Elkie Summer.
All right. Well, maybe one day we'll talk about Elkie. Tom LaSante, our author today, talking 60s, drive-in movies, the latest, and again, 60cinema.com. You can find all his books. Tom, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you. And thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Tom. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Yes, same here.
Charlie Smith, thank you.
Thank you. It's fun, isn't it?
It is. We'll have to have you back.
Love working with you, Tom. Good job.
We are out of here. Thank you for supporting Public Radio.